You're now listening to Trap Conscious Radio.
I knew something was up when I seen that nigga fucking Benjamin Crump. Yo.
I told you, like, you know what? I told you, I know your boy's voice was talking about it. I was on those shadows, but.
I turned that shit off as soon as I...
Like, yo, you damn lawyers showing up, making money. I told you, we had an episode about that when I said that we were making money off the black struggle, though.
Hell yeah, yeah, yeah.
Big money.
I turned it off when I saw a boy's face, though. Like, the clip you sent me, I immediately went elsewhere.
Yeah, he was doing some wild. You know what I'm saying? That's when I just had found out that the Aaron Dean guy had got charged. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'll listen to it. There. Clips, it's just boys. I can't once I write somebody off, like Boyce or Jay Morrison, them type dudes, I can never go back to listening to them. It's like once I see the BS, it's like I can't undo that. No, because the information's out there, so I don't have to receive it from
them. Oh yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It's cringy to see these dudes that's like race hustlers and conscious.
It's not even that you like get the message from them. It's just like sometimes you're not gonna see it on the mainstream media and shit, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. They ain't gonna have all that black shit as soon as it breaks and shit, you know what I'm saying? Or they might just have like a 1:30 snippet of it and shit.
Yeah. It was cool. Boyce, he didn't, for the little bit I did watch, like 2 minutes, he didn't manage to piss me off. I just felt like it was coming, so I just turned it off. The content is what's most important. The content of his conversation is most important. We're going to get to that in a second. We're referring to the murder, basically, of a Tatiana Jefferson at the hands
of... That's what he's charged with, so...
Yeah, at the hands of another Dallas police officer. And like I said, we'll get to that in a second. But I want to pick up on something we kind of left off last episode because we... briefly got into our NBA preview toward the end of the last episode. First, before we get into this controversy dealing with China and NBA, Zion, we got to finally see him in multiple games. What's your early?
He is what I thought he was gonna be. Goddamn it!
He is who you thought. Okay.
Like I told you, I got a soft spot in my heart for my man Zion. Now I think. Even though he's not tall, you know what I'm saying? But, like, let's be honest, like, yo, he never been tall. Like, he can, even though he was a man amongst boys and shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You could still tell in this high place that he wasn't a tall person, especially when you got the Duke, you know what I'm saying, around more elite players. But, like I said, even though sometimes the oldest don't correlate, I mean, don't correlate a lot because these are the best players in the world. You got to have that drive and shit. But it's like what I used to say about Greg Oden, like, yo, these players ain't touted, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's too... Even today, even though you get the Markel folks now, but these are, they like the anomalies now. Like, mm-hmm. The shit is so fine-tuned. Like, you know who the best players are. You know what I'm saying? As soon as he got the Duke with Cam Reddish and R.J. Barrett, like, R.J. Barrett was the number one player, and that shit went out the window. Like, Zion is being featured. Just like you said, when we had the episode when that fucking Nike blew out. You see, they sent that, you know what I'm saying, they sent emissaries and shit.
Yeah.
Like, so you know what time it was. Like, you know. And then... it's all coinciding with the LeBron, it's LeBron time to go come off the mountain and shit, you know what I'm saying? LeBron got to come off the mountain and we got another squeaky clean guy with a squeaky clean image that went to Duke, you know what I'm saying? There ain't no trouble about him and shit, you know what I'm saying? He's well-spoken, educated. Nick Schnell that your boy Sonny Vaccaro like for you to have and shit, you know what I'm saying? So just for that marketing aspect, and then he coming, he delivering, like...
Show Sonny some respect.
Ain't nobody going out there to see them, don't nobody want to see Zion shoot three. Like, yes, if you're coming out there for pure basketball product, that's one thing. But if you're coming out there for the WWE NBA storyline and entertainment,
yeah,
like, you know when LeBron is up on that court with fucking Zion, that shit gonna be headline.
Yeah, not to spend too much time on Zion, but your boy Shannon Sharp, you know, Uncle Shay, he, after the first game, they had their reactions to it on Undisputed.
He definitely did. He definitely had a negative reaction.
Like, he was going too far. Like, the whole notion that people keep saying, I wasn't impressed. Like, he can't shoot. I don't get that. Like, bro, he's averaging 71% field goal percentage. He's barely missing shots. He's only taking good shots. He can't be stopped. Like, we thought, okay, The first thing was like,
he sacrificed his whole life to get in that lane.
Yeah, the first,
like Kyrie, like what the fuck are you talking about? He's gonna get in that lane.
Like you said
and
at first, the first thing was, oh, he can't, he won't be able to do this against college competition. Then it was, oh, he won't be able to do this against NBA
grown men.
But he's doing the shit. So it's like, until he is forced to change, he could be working on his jumper in the background while he's still doing the things that's making him a 72% field goal shooter.
And like I said on Trap Conscious Radio, I take a back seat to Ron BF now when it comes to sports. But I'm gonna need to ask you, who the fuck are these grown men that's in the NBA now? Like,
okay,
it was a time when Dwight Howard was the grown man, and he was considered small by any measure compared to the old centers of yesteryear. That's so who the fuck is the grown man now?
Your question kind of goes along with a coworker of mine. He keeps making these comments saying like, oh, these veterans should be ashamed. Like, these veterans should be ashamed that they riding sixth and seventh man on the bench while these young bucks is coming in. And so that brings back to your question, who are these grown men? Like, let's look around the league. Like, the league just flipped on us. Like, there really are no grown-ass men.
It ain't nothing but young-ass kids.
You got the...
Lonzo Ball's crew.
Yeah, you got LeBron, who's in his own class, because most of his peers, like, all of his peers are gone. They're coaching now. Then you got the class that are in their quote-unquote prime, the Russell Westbrook, KD. I would even put Kyrie in that class.
And they don't even play grown man ball.
Yeah, they don't play that type of physical ball. Yeah, the Bradley Beals, the John Walls, the Paul Georges, Kawhi Leonards, that age bracket, James Harden, they're not playing that brand of basketball. They're trying to get fouled and shoot and-ones. Ticky-tack fouls. Like, they had to institute flopping for this new generation. So it's like,
it's the Mayweather rule for the NBA. That's what they really do.
Yeah, so it's like, Zion is fine.
The least damage is possible, which is smart. I mean, your career get the last long. They say you only get to play 60 games, like Kawhi here doing.
Yeah, and then Shannon said, he said something, not to spend too much more time on this Zion. I'm excited about Zion. You know, we've been talking about Zion since he was still in high school. But... and we did call him the best athlete we both ever seen. So this isn't like new revelation to us, like period in the history of sports, just because of his size and weight. But Shannon's like, okay, so he won't be able to do this against, he's going to have to develop a shot. Like, he just went up, he went straight into the chest of Rudy Gobert, who's the two-time defensive player of the year. Like, he proved his point.
All NBA niggas.
What more do you have to prove? He went through the Stifle Tower and just... like he was nothing.
You think they left Zion get on the All-Star game this year? On the All-Star team?
I think they, it's
still hard to get on there. I mean,
it's still hard to, especially in the West.
So what fucking position was he playing?
I don't even know. He was just playing Zion because he was matched up against Gobert. So he was 6'6 going up against 7'3. And he was giving him problems.
Yeah. Wait on his ass.
He was giving Gobert serious problems.
So you got the Incredible Hulk out there, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's pretty much like you got Shaq out there, you know what I'm saying? That's fucking 6'6". I mean, he's not Shaq size overall weight, but you know what I'm saying? Like, in this, like, we kept this league, though, that is who he is.
Zion, you know, is built like the SRT Jeep, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, LeBron, listen, that shit crazy. Like, Zion get to that room just like LeBron doing shit, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
With ease, like, he be... And then he'll hit you with that quick dribble and get, like, he got footwork. You know what I'm saying? But like they said, it's one of those things, like, when you're a guard just like Anthony Davis, then your height and your weight just takes you at a different level and shit. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
And you're still able to carry that shit on. Like.
Zion is going to be that man. He's 6'6". He's a shooting guard, small forward, with the body of a defensive lineman. So it is what it is. But sticking with the NBA, not to kind of... There was other news going on in the background, because while Zion is the face in the story of the NBA this preseason...
I wouldn't say that was really in the background.
Huh?
I wouldn't say it was in the background.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. One of these stories is going to take a backseat. I think money is where the front seat belongs, so we're going to go to this next topic. We talked about Daryl Morey, the Rockets GM, his tweets in support of pro-Hong Kong tweet, support of the protesters, who... set in motion a chain of events that basically led to China seriously censoring and certain businesses in China and certain sponsorships being negated and canceled television deals, apparel companies. They're no longer doing business with the NBA. Okay. Let me just read over a couple little quick figures and money, and then we can discuss the issue. So, at least five teams, this is coming from the Washington Post, at least five teams have already been discussing the reverse cap spike with the team salary cap personnel. They're estimating that 10 to 15% drops in salary caps based on the lost revenue. And that's supposed to be anywhere between $11.6 to $17.4 million worth of salary space for this upcoming free agency season. That hurts the NBA. Every summer we sit around and watch free agency. Who's going to get the money? Who's going to go where? Who has max contract space? Who's this, that? Like, it's a big deal. I want to talk about it from this angle. Do you feel like, I guess the question is China bullying the NBA? Is Chinese using their financial prowess to basically supersede constitutional U.S. Rights, which are the rights of free speech, the right to, you know what I'm saying, say whatever you want in America? Are they proving, showing and proving that money at the end of the day speaks louder than anything?
At the end of the day, what you're saying, yeah, listen, and I don't want nobody to take this shit wrong. The NBA is taking the handbook right from the fucking United States government. Same as with WWE, you know what I'm saying? When WWE go to Saudi Arabia and do the crown event jewels, and you hear all this shit about the Saudi Saudi royal family killing people and doing all sorts of mischievous shit throughout the world and paying to get people killed, and America just overlooks it because we get oil from it, we make money with it. You know what I'm saying? And the same thing with WWE go over there. You got some stars that don't go over there because, like they said, the way that they treat their women and things of that nature. You even see when they came over out of Iraq how you had to treat them and shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's still the American, because, hey, why are you going to go over there? Because they said they're going to give us fucking $50 million to come over here. The same reason that Andrew Ruiz and the Joshua Wilder fighters had been Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of entities that go out here and get money from all these goddamn places. You know what I'm saying? And I think that the government tried to switch it on because Trump tried to switch it over. Let's see what the NBA said about China, because Daryl Morey did say that shit. You know what I'm saying? So we can try to carry favor and say, well, yeah, LeBron, you know what I'm saying? You always got some shit to say. Well, go ahead and talk about the Chinese government. The thing I'll take about it is like, yo, LeBron and them are American citizens. Like, yo, so they got every right to criticize the American government and shit, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Daryl Morey, being a U.S. citizen, but working for the NBA, the same shit you say with the NFL, but working for the NBA, you know what I'm saying? Can he say what he want to say? Well, yeah, I'm an American citizen. That's like the plight of Americans and shit, you know what I'm saying? Because you got this so-called freedom law. I can just say whatever the fuck I want. I'm an American and shit, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, let me go out here and say, blah, 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 let's take it for Hong Kong and shit, you know what I'm saying? And then you got Adam Silver, like, well, shit, now we're losing money, you know what I'm saying? We're losing money, and you know how everything is all about the shareholders and about the owners, all about the bottom line and the revenue and shit, you know what I'm saying? So they let you know, like, yo, it is about the money. And if it ain't about the money, then, like I said, with every fucking business in America, there's no say nothing about LeBron and I'm doing it. Every business that go get that money from China that's in this China trade war that we in right now, mm-hmm. I think that has a lot to do with it. I think Chinese government, like, oh, y'all want to play? We can do some shit, you know what I'm saying? We won't let one of y'all biggest exports come out here. You know what I'm saying? The NBA. That whole market, we'll cut that shit off from y'all. Shit, you know what I'm saying? And that's a big thing for the NBA. Like you said, it's affecting the bottom line. It affects a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, the NBA is going to kowtow. And I think some of these things, you can't really take a moral, like, oh, well, is it a moral issue or whatever? Because it's an indoctrination issue. Well, we live in America, and we criticize the American government, but wherever you live, the Koreans are fighting North Koreans, and hey, we just left the fucking Kurds to fight the Turkey. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody got different thought processes. That's why I say, when it comes to an idea, you know what I'm saying? If you don't stand with Hong Kong, are you right? Like, I got a real thing. Like, I knew this question was coming up, and I had this thought, like, yo, fuck Hong Kong and all that shit, because I don't hear none of the NBA players say nothing when it comes to this reparations or this ADO shit. So that must be get shut down in the conversation as well. They must not be allowed to talk about that either. You know what I'm saying? The big stars, whatever names you want to name, all of them. I don't ever hear them say anything about that shit. You know what I'm saying? So So if they don't want to, they don't got to speak up on the Hong Kong shit. I don't see these Asians doing anything for us. You know what I'm saying? But now it says in America, y'all better go to bat. You better go talk to these people. Like, nah, fuck that. You know what I'm saying? I'm taking a different approach. Like, nah, LeBron and I don't got to say shit. You know what I'm saying? If they want to say they're being hit the people in downtown, hey, go get the money.
That was one of my questions that was coming later down the line, as far as like, okay, so ESPN put a gag order on their on-air personalities. They're not allowed to talk about the issue. The NBA has basically instructed their teams that they don't want them speaking on the issue. So like you said, money is the motive at the end of the day. They don't want to risk pissing China off further than they already have. Steve Kerr, who's usually very outspoken, whose family has a history of diplomacy throughout Beirut. You know, his father was the president of an American university in Beirut. His dad was killed over in Beirut. Like, so he's usually been outspoken when it comes to political ongoings. Greg Popovich, he served in the outpost for this. I think the CIA back during his younger years in, I believe, Russia. Don't let me misspeak.
Let me lie to you about that.
Yeah, I think it was Russia or I can look it up while we talking, but he nonetheless, he did serve the U.S. government in some capacity as a ambassador, as a liaison overseas. So they're usually the ones that everyone looks to speak up and say as basically the political voices for the NBA. They've been put under gag order. So it's like hold on real quick, I got it right here. Okay, he served a 5-year active duty in the United States Air Force, which he toured Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union. So basically he served. At one point Popovich considered a career. Okay, so he didn't actually serve as in the CIA. It was more or less an intern type thing. But nonetheless, he's been outspoken, you know, on plenty of issues, especially when it comes to Trump and foreign policy. But yeah, they're all under gag order. And so LeBron, I guess he's going to be the new headliner just because of it's LeBron. I took these notes 3-4 days ago, and one of my questions in my notes when I was thinking of this topic was, I just put LeBron silenced, then I put a question, and then beside it I put "or not his problem" in quotations. And so I'm coming at it from the same standpoint you are. It's real easy to look at LeBron's comments and say, okay, basically LeBron said
Darren Moore was uneducated
on the situation, and he shouldn't have spoke. And LeBron, he basically measured his words and basically said, like, you fucked up the bag for a lot of us who have business in China without thinking about those consequences. But at the same time, LeBron has been praised in the past for speaking out against things that are deemed unpopular. Maybe we should look at that a little differently, because, like,
China said, nigga, they got fucking LiAngelo Ball out of jail and the NBA fucking turned their back on them. How dare they?
But it's like, okay, LeBron, you got
UCLA basketball coming out here and all of this shit. Y'all got the nerve to speak on us?
I'm toying with this question in my mind. Like, is speaking out in the U.S. is the right, the freedom of speech, the right to protest in U.S. is it being shown and proved to be moot or like obsolete or ineffective when LeBron can talk about police and justice? He can talk out about Donald Sterling and his racist comments as the Clippers owners. He can talk about Trump even in this country, and it doesn't affect the bottom line, because at the end of the day, the people who love LeBron, this country, like, it won't affect his sales in any way.
And for the most part, he's speaking on black issues from a black man's standpoint.
Yeah, so it's almost like it's a zero net gain, and when he speaks out against that. But when basically what he's showing is like, if I really talk about an issue that's, I think he's just demonstrating who has real power. Whether he believes it, whether he knows it or not, he's showing us that, okay, China's the biggest market for Nike. Most of the money that a lot of these Nike athletes make come from the Chinese market. I feel like LeBron, in a little ways, is putting dollars over what he knows in the back of his mind is right. Because at the end of the day, it's not just standing up for Hong Kong. Like, okay, let's list the ways in which the Chinese government is violating all sorts of human rights under President Xi.
Before you say that, I want to give you a thought, right?
Okay.
Could it be the Dennis Rodman scenario where Dennis Rodman is going to North Korea and North Korea is looked at as a dictatorship regime, but he's going over there with the hopes of being goodwill and through basketball be able to spread peace and harmony? And it's like, well, damn, if you come out and say some crazy shit, you know what I'm saying, about North Korea, this shit can just funnel all the progress that we have made to this point. You know what I'm saying? Whereas Nike and NBA is going over there, when people say, well, Nike run the sweatshops, and people are like, well, no, if we didn't have the shops over there, these people wouldn't even have money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They want it to be over. You know what I'm saying? And they could be like, yo, we're talking to the Chinese delegation, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it's the empire or whatever, and we're speaking to the Chinese government, you know what I'm saying? About human rights, about civil rights, you know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? You're trying to work the back channels.
Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, and got the women like be able to go watch movies now.
Oh no, your phone was breaking up too.
Fucking
yeah, Dennis Rodman is a fragile, emotionally, mentally character. Like, I don't even want to mix what he's doing with North Korea, which is basically who's gonna give me attention? Who's gonna make me feel special? Who's gonna be my daddy that I never had? The friend I never had. I don't want to confuse that with.
Oh damn! I tried, Dennis.
Yeah. Dennis was caught with a couple white chicks stealing leggings out of a sporting goods store in Beverly Hills. Like,
he got issues.
He's not. Yeah, he's going through a lot right now. But what was the question I was going to ask? Oh, I was going to get into the human rights violations.
Yeah.
So for him to say Daryl Morey is uneducated, I think that's uneducated of LeBron to suggest that Daryl Morey, whether money was at stake or not, he spoke up on an issue that he felt in his heart of hearts a way about. Okay, so over in China, like I was about to say, under President Yi, there has been an increased number of human rights violations, censorship and suppression of political dissension. Basically, these political protesters or whatever being put to sent to these jails, these camps, foregoing all kinds of due process and all that. Basically, they're having these bullshit trials and being sentenced and basically sentenced to death. You have reports of a report just came out, a 60-page report. I didn't get through but the first 4 or 5 pages, but they're highlighting how they're organ harvesting from these political prisoners, all sorts of like medieval forms of torture. Like, this is what people are protesting about. This is what the issue is. So it's just like what you said with the Saudi royal family and the government, the U.S. government backing them and everything they do. It's like turning a blind eye to all of their misdeeds and violations. It's the same shit. Like the NBA, okay, you're at a crossroad now, and they're talking out of both sides of their face. Because like Adam Silver, he got up there and was like, "Hey, we support Daryl Morey, and we won't let China basically tell us how to exercise our rights in this country." But it's like your actions are talking out of both faces. It's like you want to appear to be the progressive league. Like the NBA has always been the progressive league, the one that's not scared to make a moral stance. But it's like you're really being bent over and spanked by China in a lot of ways. Like,
was it by? Is it by? Let me ask you this: would it be different if it wasn't by China? It was just by somebody that's a sponsor in the NBA, because like that, the NBA doesn't like to mess with any of their business partners or the NFL or any big corporations don't like to lose any of their sponsors. They don't want any of their sponsors pulling out. So these players and stuff know that they're not allowed to speak about certain teams and shit. You know what I'm saying? Your team, you know what I'm saying? Your team that you got them jerseys on them and all these bullshit, all these goddamn logos that they got now from these new advertisers, and you're not allowed to speak bad about them.
Sports, like we've said on numerous times in this podcast, even when we did the when the Russell Westbrook and we did the episode about fans spewing racist comments toward the players, sports is unless something's changed and I'm no longer to believe the adage that sports is supposed to be a microcosm of society, like, at this point, like, the NBA is a microcosm of the United States in our business dealings, where it's like China at this point is experiencing a lot of economic growth, and their economy is booming.
The NBA is who the NBA is because they're in America.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, China is now starting to throw their political, their global political clout around because they're financially in a position where they can do such. And it's like, now it's even, it's demonstrating itself, it's manifesting itself with the NBA right now in a very public and very obvious way. Whereas, like, sometimes when it's just done behind back doors, where, okay, you talk about sanctions and tariffs and stuff like that, the public doesn't get to really fully grasp what's going on. But it's like, there was an article, did I send it to you, where the China and US are discussing coming up with one currency to use between the two countries?
No, you didn't send that to me, but that sounds just like more of that world, that new world order shit. But go ahead, elaborate on it.
Hold on real quick. Let me find that article.
I mean, because it's pretty, I mean, ain't that what they're pretty much doing now?
In what way?
I'm just saying, most of the markets is based off, I mean, most of the world's markets is based off the dollar already in. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's based off the dollar, but, you know what I'm saying? If they were to make a currency between us and China, the two biggest powerhouses in the world, you know what I'm saying, that control everything, I mean, then all the other countries will have no choice but to, you know what I'm saying? If they buy American products, they want American money, they're going to take the money from America and China like they've been doing. And China been paying the niggas in Africa with that, whatever money they've been paying the people in Africa with when they leased their land and shit from them. And America and China go to one currency that's between us two. Mm-hmm. Those people in Africa gonna still be expected to get paid in that currency, because they're gonna want to be able to use that currency to buy products from America or from China.
Yeah. I'm briefly reading that article I referenced, and it's basically just highlighting how China is trying to wage a currency war with the U.S. I won't even comment on it because I'm not fully educated. I'm just skimming through the article again. But yeah, it's my layman overall, just everyday man's quasi-educated opinion.
Last time somebody tried a currency war, your boy gets knocked. You see what happened to him?
Say that one more time.
I said last time somebody tried to have a currency war, your boy Gaddafi. You see what happened to him?
Okay, we'll see if the We'll see if the tables are still the same. Because I believe China has a little more clout than.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was getting at. Like, you see, they killed Tim. That's what I was getting at. Like, America killed Tim because he ain't got enough power. But like you said, China's jobs put down. They ain't got a seat at the table. They trying to be ahead of the table.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They trying to get the shareholders to vote fucking Jerry Jones out of there.
Yeah. Also, before we go to our next topic, China right now under President Yi, he's wanting to tighten up the authoritarian style government. He wants to further tighten and restrict more things in terms of like censorship or whatever. They have a problem with the youth being influenced by Western culture. They're less politically interested. They're actually have dissension is growing amongst the youth because they're like, man, the rest of the world isn't like this. Like, why are we, you know what I'm saying? It's that sort of effect. And it's like, it goes back to that question you asked earlier.
You got a problem with that?
I was just about to say, I can't necessarily have a problem with how another country's culture and how their government, and that's what China's saying. Like, we want to have, we're sovereign. So it's like, keep your opinions to yourself. Keep your opinions to yourself. They realize that the NBA has a lot of influence. Just like I was saying, like, amongst the youth. It's like, don't bring that shit over here. Because even though you're just, it's just a harmless tweet from Daryl Morey, it's like, bro, it carries weight coming from the Houston Rockets, an NBA organization.
Oh, yeah. There's weight.
This is the same organization
who
got.
It's a huge Asian market in Texas. I mean, Houston and in LA. You know what I'm saying? These Asian markets are huge.
Yeah. You got fucking Jeremy Lin put on the All-Star ballot from Chinese people. Like, they pay attention.
Yeah, I mean.
Yao
Ming. Exactly, like you said, look how many Yu Darvish, all these people, Ichiro, and all these people that, I mean, you know, some of these people are Japanese, but I'm just saying for that Asian diaspora,
yeah,
that come over here, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, I don't mean to cut you off, but like, I kind of agree with what they say. Like, I mean, I've said a lot of times, like, yo, I don't think America and all this imperialism shit is the move. I mean, it's the same thing that every other empire tried to do. Well, let's try to spread our word around the world. You know what I'm saying? Let's take this Christianity shit and everything around the world. And next thing you know, everything is just America. You go to the fucking United Arab Emirates. I mean, yeah, they got the Islamic culture, but it's a lot of American shit over there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of Western Europe, Western world civilization influences. Yeah. And I don't have a problem with China. You know what I'm saying? And Hong Kong saying, nah, fuck that. You know what I'm saying? This is our way about this, the way that we being peaceful here. This is the way that we're not having mass shootings or whatever. Yeah. And let our government handle our government. Just like we're in a lot of protests about what America do with the black people or how they, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. We got to let them work it out. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, and America is really in no position to tell other countries how to.
America and North Korea telling them what to do. Motherfuckers in Vietnam trying to tell them what to do.
No, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. Where was I going?
Put a Russian tweet there where they telling the Russian people.
I haven't seen that. Maybe that's yet to come. Bottom line, we're seeing money is the motive. Money's over
everything. They live in a country like China, and their constitution, even though that's not their goal, and their constitution said, yeah, people should be free. You can definitely see that people weren't being free and stuff like that. Like I said, you got the right to speak out. Everybody has the right to speak out, but like you said, there's consequences that come along with it. So if Daryl Morey loses his job, Kaepernick lost his.
Maybe the NBA should reach out to Jackie Chan as a liaison to like smooth things over. Or who's another Chinese equivalent to like a Jay-Z? Maybe we should have some actionable items. And I don't know. Maybe reach out to Yao.
I don't really know any Asian.
Yao is toeing the company line. He's the one in charge of the Chinese basketball association.
They were asking people since he was trying to get with Yao and the Chinese delegate to see what kind of back channel they can use.
Yeah. Yao looked at Adam Silver and was like, I don't know what you're talking about. He switched up on him totally. Okay.
They had Yao from 7'5 to 5'7 in there.
Exactly. You couldn't see Yao. But, okay, real shit. We asked this a little bit ago. LeBron, like I asked, is this even his problem? Like, Enes Kanter took a couple shots at LeBron. I want to read a couple tweets Enes Kanter put out. Just for some kind of balance to this. Enes Kanter put, this is his timeline, his Twitter timeline. Wow, dude, shaking my head. Then he had the throw up emoji. And he gonna say, haven't seen or talked to my family in 5 years. Jailed my father. My siblings can't find jobs. Revoked my passport. International arrest warrant. Got death threats every day. Got attacked, harassed. Tried to kidnap me in Indonesia. Freedom is not free. And you know, Enes Kanter posted that video a couple days ago. Him and Taco was out. Taco Fall was at a mosque in Boston, and they were being harassed by Erdogan supporters. Erdogan, the Turkish president. I think we talked about Erdogan on the podcast before. Enes Kanter a while back.
Yeah. By how he couldn't go home.
Yeah, how he couldn't go home, and how Erdogan, pro Erdogan supporters, beat up some American citizens in front of the White House, and the U.S. government didn't do shit about it. But it's Enes. I think what Enes is missing, and it's not that Enes is wrong in what he's saying. Freedom isn't free, and sometimes we take for granted the right to free speech in America, because it's like Enes is speaking out on something he believes is evil dictatorship.
Get over here in America.
Yeah, but it's like now his dad is in jail. His family can't leave. He can't come home. They sending goons to America to get him. He can't travel. He can't even go with the team to Toronto. So it's like his has ramifications. But I think he's misguided when he's coming at LeBron in a sneaky way, because it's like this isn't LeBron's. How can LeBron?
But how are people looking at a black African American man now to be the world leader for the plight now? You know what I'm saying? It's always got to be the black person got to be the sacrifice.
Yeah. Why should we have to speak up about your issues? They tried that with immigration, and they tried with ICE, and they tried with a lot of even LGBT. They tried with a lot of different movements and different cultures and different ethnic problems. But it's like, yo, we still have a glaring problem in our own community, the one that Kaepernick paid for with his career. That's why I'm saying, let's segue to our next topic, the main topic. We just had another Dallas police officer violate the sanctity of someone's home and murder them in cold blood. A Tatiana Jefferson was at home allegedly playing video games with her 8-year-old nephew when her back door was left open. Her neighbor made a non-emergency welfare check call. I don't even want to use that word, welfare check. I think that was
Her back door. It was her front door in her style book.
Okay. That welfare term that's being used in the article, they sent them over there for a welfare check. I think that's some sort of coded sleight of hand using that type of verbiage instead of like a wellness check or something of that nature. That welfare check, those two words, I think it's a sleight of hand.
Yeah, you're right. I feel what you're saying. It could have been a health or wellness check, but I guess you could throw that welfare in there. You know what I'm
saying? I don't put anything like that past these these people. But yeah, nonetheless, he called for a wellness check. Her doors were ajar, left open. The police officer, and I seen the body cam footage, Aaron Dean, he came there. It looks like he's looking through a window and he sees a figure. He says, does he say stop, put your hands up? And then he immediately shoots. He, like, less than a second after he gives that command, gunshot is fired. This woman is killed. Allegedly, there was a gun found in the room where she was at, which still, in my mind, doesn't change the facts that this is her home. You hear someone in your backyard. You're unaware of the circumstance and what's going on. And a police officer shoots you down in your house. My question is, like, is this the new norm? Is Amber Geiger's case, is the hugging and forgiving by the family of Botham John, is this now the new climate we live in? I mean, it's nothing new under the sun, but it's like, damn.
This is my question I got to ask you before we get there, right? Where are we at in society where black and police relations are to the fact where neighbors saw the cops to do a health welfare check on their neighbors? Like, when he's, I'm just going to, you know what I'm saying, like the steps that led him to her dying. When he's on the phone, and, you know, it's 2:30, 3:42 a.m. or 2:32 a.m., whatever time it is when you made the call. You know what I'm saying? And it's not an emergency call. You're saying, like, yeah, it's not normal for them to have their doors and stuff open at this time with the light to be on. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, I'm like, one of them things, like, yo, you said you know she's there with her nephew and shit. Like, you know it's not normal. Like, yo, you can't go over there and make a call or knock on the door and shit. Like, you could knock on the door first, but, like, oh, man, I didn't know if y'all was there or not. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to call the cops. You know how people live and shit. You know what I'm saying? Because it was getting those anyway. You know what I'm saying? Niggas up at 2:30 in the morning looking at her house.
Your black ass think that was a good idea to call the police for anything? Like, what fucking time capsule are you living in where you can just call the fire department to pull a cat out of the tree in a black neighborhood? You can't call law enforcement for shit. If it haven't been shown to prove over the course of the last decade that police are out to kill you, they're quote unquote race soldiers at this point, meant to protect and enforce white supremacy. Like,
and I was sitting there thinking, like, she could have been blowing the L, and they would have used that. Like, well, we smelled something. Let's go up in her house anyway.
Yeah.
Anything.
It was you invited that man to kill her. Like, he's guilty. He's remorseful. And a lot of people saying it's not his fault. But it's like, that goes back to the trap conscious. That goes back to operating on a higher level of consciousness. To, you know, like, yo, you don't make stupid missteps like that. Like, how could you think that was a smart idea? A week after the trial ended, in which an officer went into a man's house and killed him and basically got off scot-free because, like, all the circumstances are laid out for her to walk away free.
And like you said, your trap conscious, like, you know it's not going to be 9 times out of 10, not going to be a black officer responding. You know what I'm saying? And not that it's even better, I'm just saying, 9 times out of 10, you know it's not going to be a black officer responding. You got to respond in that it's dark, you know what I'm saying? So that's the situation, like, okay, now, you know what I'm saying? A concerned citizen called, ICE and stuff is going on, blah, blah, blah. So now what mindset is the cop in? And then the cop, you get there, you and the other cop, and y'all see the front door is open. You see the screen door, the light. You get a knock on the door, Fort Worth Police Department. Found a light through there like you do any other fucking time. Fort Worth Police Department. You continue walking. You see the side door open next to the white vehicle. Screen door is open. Light's still on. You could announce yourself again. You don't say shit. Nothing.
Did we not just see a man walked out of his house in his drawers just recently? What state was that?
Yeah.
His front door was open. A police officer walked into his fucking house with his gun drawn and ordered him out of the house at gunpoint because his alarm was tripped. Because
the alarm went off.
It's like, where in America are they showing?
Without my damn drawers.
Let me show me the video where they're doing this to white citizens, where they're showing up already in a escalated posture, meaning that they're one step from killing you. There's no. Is this the new norm? Is what I'm asking. So while Daryl Morey is putting out tweets,
Is it the new norm? No, it's the norm that it's hard to get out of shit with the body count.
Okay, while Daryl Morey is putting out tweets in support of the violations of human rights in China, which is okay, it's all well and good, and it's causing such an uproar to which the NBA has to fucking capitulate.
Did the Mavericks say anything?
Exactly. Well, the Mavericks don't have to say anything. Their whole entire team is international players, so it's not going to affect their...
Well, I mean, it's the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You're right. You listen, ain't that funny? They not Americans. They don't got to worry about shit. I guess they blend in.
I don't know, man. It's
like you said, you go to the back, stop, shove your hands.
These are provocations.
Like, yo, you hit the window like, yo, can somebody hear you? Like, what the...
These, in any other capacity, would be considered provocations for some sort of war, sort of conflict. They keep continuously. It's a feeler gauge. It's basically, you can't even do a Gallup poll or whatever those polls are to test the pulse of the nation.
It's based on slow death.
This is the thermometer they use to test the temperature of the black community when they constantly do this. And they keep doing these suppressive measures, like getting Benjamin Crump out in front of it, or Lee Merritt out in front of
it. They don't see the black pastors out there talking about, we ain't gonna let this stand no more. I'm like, what happened to all the other years? Y'all been letting this stand. The black church, I got my issue with the black church, and sometimes I don't have an issue with the black church. But all of this, we're not gonna stand for it no more. Like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? What is the black church going to do? You got a religion, but you're not even allowed to pick up a weapon to do any fucking thing.
Yo, no pastor.
And at the end of one of those videos, that man said, the only person that's going to save us now is the Lord Jesus. That's the move away, though. The only person that can save us now is the good God to come back and save us. They made sure they ended the video with that shit.
Yeah. How long are you going to sit around and wait for this mystery God? My thing is, okay. With the pastors, how long are you going to keep getting in church and preaching about David, preaching about Samson, preaching about the wall of Jericho, and preaching about all these wars that are in the Old Testament, all this meeting fire with fire,
Moses leading the Israelites?
Yeah, how much are you going to, how long, how are you going to keep preaching this shit, and then as soon you contradict everything your teaching shows you or teaches you, and you go to that one passage that says turn the other cheek or give it to God? I just find that crazy.
I guess the one silver lining I can try to find is that the body count is on, and that he's being charged with murder, and that I guess it'd be more of an outrage. It's like, oh, this is another shooting of an unarmed citizen at their home, another unarmed black citizen at their home, but there won't be no charges against them. You know what I'm saying? After we do our investigation, there's no charge. You know, for most time,
they recovered a gun. This is clear. This is all but over. He's out on bail right now. They recovered a gun at the scene. Like I said, which she's allowed to have.
They said she had a gun inside her home, but they don't know if the gun was next to her body or anything.
Yeah, that means nothing.
Yeah.
So he could always say, I fear for my life.
He's charged with murder. He did resign, so I mean, he doesn't get any legal counsel from the police force.
They charge these officers. Okay. When we talked about Amber Geiger, I don't think I articulated my myself well when I asked early on in the conversation. I was like, I don't see where the leap to murder was. And what I was saying was, is like, murder, sometimes they overcharge these police because the burden of murder, you have to prove intent. You have to prove a lot of different elements that they could always get around. They could always circumvent.
That they wouldn't be able to follow through with a manslaughter charge or something like a lesser charge.
Yeah, that's why I was. That's what I meant when I said, where's the leap to murder? Unless you can prove and show us these other mitigating circumstances, which they didn't until after the trial was over. So that's why I said, okay, they must be setting this up for Amber to get off. And it's the same thing with this. It's like, you can never say, if someone was called over, if the police officer only showed up because he was called over. Now,
exactly.
He could already be carrying these feelings in his heart, these motives in his heart, but it's like,
exactly, harboring intent.
Yeah, but he can now always,
wait, if I catch a motherfucker tonight, I'm gonna smoke his ass.
Yep, I'm just waiting. Just I wish a nigga would. That type of moment. He's what they're waiting for, these circumstantial moments to where they could try to get away with this type of shit, and that buys you clout for eternity within the white supremacist community. You've seen all these officers who've been acquitted of these charges and then quote unquote fired or let off the police force. They got GoFundMe set up. Even who's the
big money get today defense fund.
Yeah, they tried to rehire the officer who killed Tamir Rice. Yeah. He went and applied, and I think he got a job at another police department in another city.
Yeah, down the way.
They have these golden parachutes for these race soldiers, these murderers. So it's like, I don't know.
No, so, I mean, what you're saying is 100% right. Everybody knows, like you said. And I mean, but I think the only double-edged sword is when you say they're so quick to jump to murder is that if you go for manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, second degree murder, you know what I'm saying? The other thing is, I think they got the murder, is what they're saying. Like, it wasn't premeditated murder. You know what I'm saying? It's not premeditated murder. Yeah, you didn't go out the day you set out with intent to kill that one person. But it's murder because all of the bullshit, like when you said, when you're trained, they're like, this guy right now, they charged him with murder. It wasn't involuntary. It wasn't manslaughter. Because they're like, yo, you had every, you know what I'm saying, as a cop, you know what I'm saying? You had every fucking thing. Like, you didn't do anything. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can see that this shit is open. You can see that you're not saying that you're a cop. You can see that you're not saying anything. Nothing that a normal cop would do. The same thing with Amber Geiger is that she didn't have a fucking body camera. You know what I'm saying? And you could have seen, like, damn, this, you didn't do anything that anybody would do. Just like this cop right here, like, you didn't say nothing. And if that body cam wasn't on, you better believe who to say, I announced myself, I said this, I said, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But since he had a body camera on, he can't get away with it. But like I said, double edged sword, like you said, if you don't go for manslaughter, the community will be like, yo, why are you not being charged with murder? They never get charged with murder. What manslaughter carry 10 years? You know what I'm saying? Even though that would be a better charge, like, that you think to stick, instead of, like you said, going with murder, where the tent, like, you got to prove, like, damn near 99.9%, you know what I'm saying? Beyond the shadow of doubt, if you thought that's what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
But like you said, this whole legal lexicon is more than bullshit. These FOP, these police unions, you know what I'm saying? They got pretty much got a. That's the funny thing when cops say they don't get paid enough, but like, damn, when it comes to defense, that shit is off the. Y'all got an unlimited budget.
Yeah.
You know? So it's. And like I said, it's harder for them to get away with things. Like I said, when it's a woman at her house, and you can't paint the narrative. And it was better because she was a woman, even though you see them go in the house to kill a woman, but you can't paint the narrative now there was an overzealous testosterone built black man who wasn't following my commands, and I fear for my life. You know what I'm saying? Because now you just fear for your life from anybody. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, with the health and welfare, you obviously knew that you was in a black community. You know what I'm saying? You obviously went there. Like you said, how did you get the murder? But like, you obviously was a cop in a black community. You know what I'm saying? Hey, if you see something smoky there, that's murder. You know what I'm saying? Even. Because that's not what it's supposed to be. Then if you see some murder, you know what I'm saying? It's supposed to be like, you see some investigate, and if you think you got a reason for suspicion, kill him. But like, they talking about if the officer perceives a threat, like, is that kind of bullshit? Like you said, is that kind of bullshit that let niggas get off?
There's a war going on. It's not, the rules are different now. It's not about protecting and serving. It's not about investigating. It's not about any of those things now. It's, It's about just, it's a war. You're only, they're on the offensive. This is counterinsurgency. This is the same, this is the same city where Micah Johnson killed five police officers and went on a shooting rampage. They label him a black identity extremist. This is that same police department that's still dealing with that. Those issues just didn't look that.
And like the FBI said, the police departments are raped for white supremacists. But it ranks.
Yeah, the FBI put out documents on paper saying the police departments around the country have been infiltrated by white supremacists. So that's not even conjecture. That's not even, what's the other word? Hyperbole. That's real shit.
I said, white overseer, white officer.
I'm sure. You know, we'll segue in a second, but I just want to say this real quick. Me and my brother, we talked about Trap Conscious Radio, and me and you've often told the audience week after week, we're going to switch to another platform. We're going to switch to another platform. And it's really me that's dragging my feet. KB's been ready to do it. But I think with me, Trap Conscious started out as an idea in my mind. It's just how I live my life. And it came to a point where it's like, I'm very guarded on where I'm taking the platform, because it's like, I always say, I'm not doing this for profit. I'm not doing this for attention. This is what I really care about. This is how I really feel in my heart. I hope people that listen to the podcast don't think I just like hearing myself talk. I was the kid who didn't talk. I was the young man who never had nothing to say. I was quiet. If you know anybody who knows me, know I was always quiet.
You know it right now. You still like that.
I'm still quiet. When I speak, it's about stuff I care about. People, they find it hard to relate to me. They find it hard to connect to me because they really don't. They can't figure me out. And it's like, yo, taking my platform somewhere else, the YouTube route, the having my face in front of a camera, putting on a show, to me, that undercuts some of my genuine feelings I have, when it's really just my message I want to get out. It's really just the anger or the pain or the dissension I want to get out. That's what I really want to come across. I don't want you to get caught up in how what I'm wearing or the visual aspect. So I'm slow to do that. I don't want to get mixed into the worlds of DJ Academics and Boyce Watkins and Yvette Carnell's and Joe Rogan's. I mean, the money is there and the listenership is there. My brother said, yo, you sitting on a gold mine, Trap Conscious. I follow your movement. I see, like, people fuck with your movement. But it's like, he's saying taking it further. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should expand the brand and allow other people to take it to different platforms, different mediums. I'm going to continue to do Trap Conscious Radio. That's what I care about. I'm more about the content. I'm more about the nuts and the bolts of it all, as opposed to the glitz and the glamour of it all. And this shit is, well, yeah, when we started the show, we built that beautiful studio in my apartment, the nice white couches, all the artwork, all the, you know, everybody come over, we have liquor, we have a good time, we joke, and the show, the show had a very conversational, joyous tone to it. And then now, over the last couple of years, it's slowly turned into me and KB get up here, and we kind of just got to let y'all know what the real is out here. And it's less of the joking. It's less of the partying.
It's
and
more
the
of a militant aspect.
It's, the posture has turned more prepare for some sort of action. Prepare to change your mindset to a certain action. And I'm not going to lie. Last episode, I got to the point where when I was asking, is it worth it? What I was really saying is like, yo, it's becoming difficult to breathe in this type of medium. It's becoming difficult to constantly get on the mic and talk about the same shit, the same white supremacist actions being taken against black people. I when this podcast is over, I still have to go get in my car and walk out into a world that I'm now paranoid to live in. And it's because I'm informed. So the more consciousness and the more informed I get, the more and more it's just like, it becomes less funny. There are episodes where we party and bullshit and talk about Rich the Kid getting ran down on by Lil Uzi and Nicki Minaj ass shots, and like that stuff becomes less important. Like, this hip hop shit,
obsolete.
The culture is obsolete to me. Like, what are we talking about? We just saw, and let me rant for a second, and feel free to chime in and ad lib and jump in when you feel like. We just saw the family of Botham Jean get up there and hug the murderer of their son, their brother, and place it on Christianity. Let God handle it. Jesus handle it. Then this situation just happened. The term Jesus got thrown out there. Then you go back to when I was pressing hard on Kanye for the last 3 years. Now this nigga's talking about he's converting to Christianity. And you got these dumb niggas, dumb Negroes, who think it's who would rather do shit for clout, who are positionless, who are moralless, who have no base as a man or a woman, which they stand on, what principles they stand on. They want an attend Sunday service and thinking like, I don't know, man. It just disgusts
me.
They want something to belong to. You don't like this industry. I've seen so many people come in with the right intention, thinking like, okay, I have a message, I have a platform, I stand about something, I want people to know that about me. And then they immediately start capitulating and start giving in to being popular, wanting to be liked, wanting to get follows, wanting to get retweets. So now their message is
giving it to the sponsors.
It's disgusting, man. It's a little bit of what Ennis Cantor said. I think I hold that true, because I think like what he's really saying is like, this shit don't mean nothing to me. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, this is, we wouldn't be where we are as black people in this country if the people before us didn't look out for the people coming after them. And it came at a cost. And most times it cost them their lives. It cost them the opportunity to live a life of partying and bullshit. I wouldn't be able to get on this microphone right now if the people who came before me didn't die or give of themselves for me to have where I'm at now. It's disingenuous for us to fucking celebrate Martin Luther King, to talk about Malcolm X, to want to participate in all of this African-Americanness, this, that, and the third, and then your life that you live in or the things that you stand for don't pay homage to that. Don't give that the proper respect it deserves. Don't talk to me about Harriet Tubman. And don't talk to me about Medgar Evers. Don't talk to me about Emmett Till being lynched. Don't talk to me about none of that shit, because it's just words at the end of the day.
It is. And just to piggyback, you know, when you're a little kid and everybody sit right there and say, man, I swear to God, if I was on that plantation, I would have whooped ass his ass. I would have whooped that overseer's ass.
Yo.
Oh, man, it was 30 of us on that plantation, and we can't take those motherfuckers and shit. You know what I'm saying? And these shit right here, like I told you, like every week, it'd be one or two cops come to your neighborhood, and the biggest, baddest motherfucker is going to sit there and let him take his ass down. He's going to let him take his asshole. He's going to let him take his mouth. He's going to do everything. He's going to let him do everything in the world to him. And if a person that was the same color as him said anything to him, they'd be ready to be no time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, is slavery a choice, or is it? It's just so built in your mindset, or is it, like I said, the Second Amendment, like, yo, you can't do shit when people got a gun on.
It's fear. I mean, if you're scared, we all scared. Fear is what you operate. Like, I think people, if you say I'm scared, it comes with a negative connotation, because people don't understand terms. They don't understand words. Have a multitude of definitions and degrees that you can apply to words. Being scared doesn't mean you sitting in your house shaking in your boots. You can be when the black man is threatened, he will rap, he will sing, he will dance. You remember when they said that on Boondocks? He wasn't. What he was saying, you go to your comfort. You go to your place of comfort. Like, being scared doesn't mean you're sitting there shaking in your boots. I'm scared of a lot of shit, but it's not like, but I have courage. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of the antidote for fear.
Yeah, that's what I said. Some people be scared of shit, but you don't got to live your life in fear and shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't live my life in fear for none of these fucking white boy white supremacists or quote unquote niggas that think they hard either and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. When it comes.
I'm just KB at the end of the motherfucking day.
At the end of the day, that's it.
But sometimes I, like we were saying, we take a more military. I was thinking about this, even with the LeBron approach, I was trying to compare it to the military. And then one of those things, like we said about LeBron earlier, sometimes you just gotta know when to. Sometimes you gotta know when to fight. You know what I'm saying? And like, yo, I can't win this fight. And now that you just lost that battle, like, yo, it's a bigger war that you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And sometimes everybody may not see it. You know what I'm saying? It's not for everybody to see.
No,
some people gotta be soldiers and they gonna die. Some people gotta be generals. Some people gotta be political people. Some people got to be in the background. You know what I'm saying? Track conscious and the whole goddamn thing, playing Geppetto.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a lot. When we was in the military, like they said, the war is won by the man behind a gun. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of things that factor. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, black people, they got to the limit, like, there's no more talking. What fucking talking is you going to do? There's no talking. There's no, even though I get older, you know, like, because you might hit the track, well, what the fuck are y'all doing? Like, yo, like, I ain't never kowtowed or dished up to any police officer in my life anytime they was with. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have been in a situation where I knew I was outnumbered. You know what I'm saying? And to do anything else would be futile. Now, I probably could have died in that situation with a bucket. You know what I'm saying? Saying that what you believe in, you can die right here and shit. You know what I'm saying? Or I get taken like, nah, I know what, you know what I'm saying? I can talk my way out of this situation and come back with a better plan on how to fuck all y'all up.
Yeah. They keep asking you, what are you doing, KB? What are you doing, YBF? It's like, okay, first off, you got to understand something about us, black people in general. Like, we're born into a race where we're already like two laps behind. The first lap we run is just to prove that I'm just a human being. So you get back on, and now you're a lap behind. And then it's like, okay, the second lap I have to overcome just to get back is to prove that I'm a man, you know what I'm saying, in this country, a black man. It's like, from, like, give credit where I think we look at each other so critically, where if we're not doing something, it's the first thing people want to do is they want to reflect their own insecurity onto other people. What are y'all niggas doing? Okay, we served in the U.S. Army. You can never not call us American citizens. You can never not call us quote unquote patriots. Whatever you want to say about it, we went over and fought in those wars. We went over and spent our time away from our families in harm's way, where it could have ended at any given second. So you can never take that from us. Okay, what are y'all doing now? Are there not people protesting? Yes. Are there people getting their heads cracked for protesting? Yes. We tried to come on the podcast and do what I called psychological operations. If this is to be believed to be a war going on, you have a division. You have a apparatus within all military outfits that conduct psychological operations.
Psyops.
Like, if you think about things more abstractly than concrete, you would know that the people who get on podcasts or get out there and help you to decipher the bullshit that you're being fed, they have value. So from the layman's term, like I said, I'm not highly educated, but I see through the bullshit. So when you see this issue with China, you see one of the people you do recognize, LeBron James, giving a statement, and you're like, well, what's with the China? Like, you know how many ignorant motherfuckers come up to you? Yo, what's that shit about LeBron and China? What's going on with that? I'm left to fucking try to make sense of it for you. Don't tell me I'm not doing something. I'm connected. I'm close enough to you to speak in your language. Also, prudent enough and put in enough effort to go do the research to be able to come and translate that back to you in layman's terms.
But you have a better understanding.
I'm trying to make it make sense. A lot of times when I'm at a loss for words on this podcast, like, because I'm trying to make it make sense.
You got to give them on the surface.
And I never pretend to be highly knower of everything. I'll be the first to say, oh, I don't know, I'm not educated. You've heard me say that shit time and time again. If I don't know something, I say, oh, I don't know about that. I'm not going to keep babbling about something I don't know about to sound smart or to eat up time.
That's right. Hey, listen. And then another thing, you know what? Like you said, this on psychological warfare, when we say we really don't know what's going on, you really don't, like that, because the Chinese government is going to be saying, like, yo, you just saying whatever the fuck Fox News or CNN is putting on us about the government because we're in a trade war with America. You know what I'm saying? So whatever, you know what I'm saying? Whatever propaganda they spread about us is false. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to get back to them. Like, do you think the fuck, do you trust the American government to give you the even with the shit that's going on with the White House right now, to give you any real information?
CNN headline news, under fire, LeBron James accused of undermining pro-democracy values. Fuck out of here, bro.
Hey, And I think that's a Republican thing going on, because LeBron is one of the people that got here for the Democrats going hard.
And then they got LZ Granderson's fucking light in the loafer's ass sitting there talking out against LeBron. Just because you're a social justice warrior doesn't mean you, like, get the fuck out of here, bro.
And that's why you need us. Cause, I mean, being honest, like you said, because people don't decide for the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? They're not like, you're not smart. It's not that these people aren't smart. You listen to us, I think you're very intelligent. But like you said, it's a lot of shit that goes on in the world. You got to go to work. You got to do other shit. So you got to have people, the professors, the teachers, that go get an in-depth study so they can come back and teach you. So they can come back and teach the masters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you said, if I can reach one, and he can reach one, and we can reach five, and everybody else can do that. That's a shift the momentum into the right way.
Yeah.
And that's more you can do with any physical putting your hands on somebody any day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a lot of people don't try to change the mindset. But the mindset is evolving, though. Like they said, hey, 1800 years ago, only some people were fighting back and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know there's a lot of people out here who are getting ready. The quote term woke, there's a lot of people who are quote unquote woke up to what's the dumb shit that's going on. It's just like, it's all that's being suppressed though. All we see, if you go looking for any sort of reflection of black society, you're never gonna see that. You're gonna see everything other than that. You're not gonna see the people who are sitting there with their kids telling like, yo, this is the society we live in. This is how it's going to be. You're going to see a chick with a camera in front of her little daughter twerking or rapping Meg Thee Stallion lyrics. That's what you're going to see.
And just for the record, I just want to put this out there. And I was speaking on Trap Con, I'm speaking for KD, Kaiser Betty. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a black identity extremist, but I identify exclusively as black. And just like he said earlier, when they said, what would y'all do for yo, I was going to die in the United States military for white people. Like, so I done told y'all plenty of times when this, like, they ever come down to it, like, I'm dying in the war with black people. There's people that talk that bullshit all the time, like, yo, and I'm not here speaking no wars, I'm just saying. But when it's time, like, I'm down with the black people, for better or worse. And shit. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so don't, where you stand there with us? Everybody in the world can hear this podcast. They can hear what I'm saying. Any white racist supremacist can walk and find me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not hiding.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when we go on no rappers or we speak about anybody, like, I'm not hiding. Like, yo, you know what I'm saying? I speak on principle. I speak on that I don't do people wrong in the first place. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to speak my mind and think about and say shit what I want to say about this. You know what I'm saying? I know it's not coming from an uneducated view or a view where people were. The majority of people are like, yeah, this man sounds crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And lose all credibility. And I wouldn't even bring that to the Trap Conscious people or to our format or to our platform.
Yeah.
Unless YBF told you he was highly educated, you wouldn't even know.
I'm not.
You wouldn't got his intelligence or his acumen or anything.
Okay. Let's pick up. This got kind of morbid. I'm listening to some instrumentals in my headphones. That kind of keeps my flow going. And I'm thinking of Pharrell. this GQ cover story. Pharrell's on the cover. He's in like this bubble vest dress, and it's titled "The New Masculinity." Have you read the article, or did you just see the cover?
I see the cover.
Okay.
I'll need to read the article. Yeah, I do need to read the article, but like it's.
Okay.
That's the picture being blazed. They know most people not gonna read the articles. Let's be honest. I'm not saying that's for us. I'm just saying I haven't gotten around to reading the article, but I have seen multiple people speaking on the issue, and I've seen the picture. You know what I'm saying? And the picture is what's the headline. It's the article.
Picture's worth 1,000 words. It's Pharrell. It's Pharrell, a prominent figure in hip hop, a trendsetter, a culture shifter. In terms of the sound of music, the aesthetic of black people as far as clothing and fashion, like he's kind of a big deal. He's now given an interview with GQ, And basically the premise of the interview is to kind of define what masculinity is and how masculinity has shifted. I would just suggest people read it before we.
What does GQ stand for?
Gentlemen's Quarterly, right?
For gay and queers, somebody told me that.
Gays and queers?
Yeah. I'm serious. You think I'm joking? Somebody told me that was like, that's really the, you know what I'm saying, the real text of it. That's real. That's really the real context of it. They just can't come out and say that. It was one of the LGBTQ things, and they were speaking about fashion industry and about how the fashion industry is ran by gays, and, you know what I'm saying, the photography industry and all of this shit.
Yeah.
But, and they were talking about, like, GQ's only magazine. They're like, they're talking about Vogue magazine, all these magazines. They're like, look at GQ magazine. You know what I'm saying? Get the most sexiest man in the world or whatever and shit. You know what I'm saying? But they're not really showing them in a masculine light and shit. You know what I'm saying? They're showing them bare back and done up with the hair. All Matthew McConaughey and shit. You know what I'm saying? Not the person that you would think is the alpha male, like the 300 Spartan look and shit. Yeah. It's a more, like you said, suave, Eurocentric with a little bit of American taste. But hey, maybe I'm reaching.
I was skimming through the article as you was talking, so I kind of was in and out of what you were saying. I stopped on this picture of I stopped on this picture of Pharrell. He's wearing like this Queen of England choker around his neck, and he's got blonde hair, and he's just got a single tear rolling down his face.
Pharrell up there looking like fucking June Child.
He looking like Lena Waithe, like a male. He looks crazy, but. I would suggest listeners read the article.
Listen, for real, I've always been on the more essential thing when it came to clothing. You can say that. I'm the more flamboyant, and before Westbrook and any of those people were doing it, it was always for real. And I'm just saying, like, just more with this. What I really want to say when they're talking about masculinity, right? I got to be thought, like, yo, how are people that giving up their masculinity trying to tell people what the new mask? How can you come out and say, well, this is a new masculinity, because I don't represent anything that people of the old age think is masculine. Like, yo, you just can't come out and say this is a new masculinity. Like, I'm tired of that shit. I know we speak over here and speak a lot of shit, but like, this shit, black men are really under attack. Manhood is really under attack. You know what I'm saying? But black manhood is really under attack. But fucking, what's that dude? What's your homeboy name? You know his name. Bobby Porter.
Are we talking about the guy that's supposed to be playing? Yeah, what about him?
Fairy Godmother.
Yeah, Cinderella's Fairy Godmother. Yeah.
Like, this is the shit I'm talking about. Like, come on now. Like, yo, y'all just, it's all black people. I mean, I'm looking for real shit, but I said that a while ago with the Netflix shit. I told you, like, you watch any of these Netflix series, they all got black people in them, but the black character is gay. You know what I'm saying? They doing, you can tell that they, all of these 24, all of these Netflix specials, they doing their best to have everybody included. You know what I'm saying? But most of the time, every time I see a black person that's included, they all playing the gay role. Exclusively, damn near. You know what I'm saying? And well, I mean, what's the motive for that? You know what I'm saying? Oh, we see Tyler Perry, and he made money, and we, they don't take me serious. Like, yo, you run around in that goddamn outfit all the time. It's not that I don't take you serious. That, hey, this is what you perpetrate to the black community. That, hey, black people are loud, overzealous, big, and who everything in every altercation they got to pull a gun or they got to resort to violence. And they want a second chance, and anytime you give them a second chance, then you're gonna be a lifelong criminal. And that's pretty much what the Medea character is, unless I'm wrong.
Nah, you're not wrong.
And this is everything that's, and when you get to for real, like, for real, sitting now, he got fucking goldie boxes in his head. Like, that's not no, and for real, he's got the body of a masculine image. I know people say, oh, this is toxic masculinity shit you be talking about. Like, no, it's not toxic masculinity. It is masculinity. Everybody knows for real doesn't have a masculine frame. Nobody's saying for real is gay or any of this shit. But the shit that, like I said, I don't follow no rappers or no fucking entertainers because they're all brought and paid for it. And the one that I'm paying for, you don't see him on the radio or TV. That simple.
Yeah. The most successful ones are all tools of some sort of agenda. They're funded and their voices are amplified by some sort of agenda, whether it be the fashion homosexual agenda, whether it be the violent black on black crime agenda, perpetuating violence agenda, the drug use agenda. There's always somebody putting a battery in their back. As soon as we got off air last time, you sent me an article about Tekashi getting a $10 million record deal. Like, what apparatus is behind Tekashi that a man convicted or a man caught up in all of this bullshit, who's only gonna be freed because he gave testimony against those who he was involved with? Basically, he's just as complicit in the drug sale, just as complicit in the brutal beatdown of people or the shooting of women. Like, he's complicit in everything that organization took part in, and he's set free on a technicality, and now he's being offered $10 million for two albums. It's like, I don't know.
It'd be one in English and one in Spanish, and up to $10 million. Anybody that's following Trap Conscious, I've been saying this forever. I think he was always thought he was going to get out, and not sure what's going to happen to him in his long, continuous career, because shit is real. Like they said, shit is real, but shit is all on the internet. You don't really see people in real life. You know what I'm saying? You just connect to them on the internet. You know what I'm saying? That the real cases in the world was chasing Tekashi before he came out for $10 million. Now he thinks they're going to do something when he got the fucking feds looking at him. You know what I'm saying? For the record company, I think it's a win-win. Hey, yo, we can capitalize on this shit. You know what I'm saying? We're not giving them $10 million. We'll give you a bunch of dollars, $10 million for two albums. You know what I'm saying? The first album probably don't sell good. We just going to release you.
He already been co-signed by some rappers. Like, Casanova said, basically in his interview, like, hands off of Tekashi.
Yeah, hands off. Let that nigga troll me to death. And look what Casanova said. He said, hey, when the machine was behind Tekashi, he couldn't get shit. You know what I'm saying? He couldn't get no. That's what you know. That's right. Machine behind Tekashi. And now you can't get booked at Nova.
I wonder if he still feels that same energy after he was, him and his people couldn't perform at, what's the face? What was that recent Rolling Loud?
Rolling Loud, don't let me lie. Yeah. I told you, I don't be following this rap shit.
The New York, the police, the NYPD put out that list of people who got removed from Rolling Loud. It was Casanova, Pop Smoke, Don Q, Chef G, like a bunch of these rappers, New York rappers, got blacklisted from a festival. And you have to believe it's the Tekashi syndrome. It's like the NYPD are now applying the screws to these New York rappers. Like, yo.
Oh, yeah, it is. And like they said, in today's day and age where people are getting money and the salaries, they don't got the time to even, with these mass shootings and all this shit, we don't even got the time for y'all to bring that negative energy to the city. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You got all these rap shootings and all this shit, and y'all already got shit going on. There's just more security than they bring. Even when they were like banning Tekashi, like, yo, y'all not coming to Rolling Loud. These are festivals where y'all make a lot of money, but this is, like I said, they don't want nobody to have no hard gangster image on them. Tekashi was lying to do it because Tekashi was running around with low key with the LGBT community. Say, I'm a gangster, and I got purple hair and shit, you know what I'm saying? I got rainbow colored hair and shit, you know what I'm saying? And I'm the softest looking motherfucker in the world.
I'm going as Tekashi, you know, for Halloween. I've already decided. Have your kids picked out their costumes for Halloween yet? Is anybody talking about going to Daniel Hernandez?
Yeah, I was going to dress him up as a big baller burner.
Oh, dress him as LeAngelo.
I really wanted to speak on that for 1 second. So,
who you going as, LeVar?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, from KD to LeVar Ball and shit, you know what I'm saying? And I say this, had all sincerity from my heart. I think the media is doing a mass destruction of LeVar Ball and the shit to the Ball family. So when I look at my sons, or I look at my father, I see other people that got relationships with their dads and shit from childhood, from birth. It ain't like LeVar just got the LeVar to raise the kids from birth to now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So the relationship that they look at their dad, like they said, when he's saying that shit, they just laugh at it. They said, we laugh and joke at that shit. And he tell them they can't get tattoos, they go get tattoos anyway. They do whatever the fuck they be wanting to do.
Yeah.
Like, in what episode were they not, they was there having sex with girls, Leandro was stealing this shit, like, what's all this trick on LeVar doing this to LeVar doing that? And if some shit went wrong with that business, it went wrong because, hey, LeVar trying to get his kids to lick, hey, yo, we super duper stars, people been making money off of us from YouTube, we got this TV show. Hey, we can sell our own merch, you know what I'm saying? Fuck Nike and all of these people and shit, you know what I'm saying? And Big Nike and all of them, they did everything in their power to make sure. And I mean, Lonzo struggled, but like I said, I just don't like the narrative that since Lonzo struggled, he's not the biggest star in the world and shit. You know what I'm saying? Let's take shots at LeVar. You need to get away from LeVar, and LeVar is doing all this negativity to you. And shit, you know what I'm saying? And I just think without them cameras when they at their house, I don't think it's shit like that.
The only implication that I found distasteful about LeVar was the implication that he somehow. The narrative that he's stealing money, because it speaks to like a greed or like a something that LeVar's never demonstrated. Like LeVar is a man of like, even though he's got the big house, he's like a dude of meager means. Like he wears Big Baller Brand. You never see him popping out with a Rollie or Ice this, or he bought Tina.
He had a basic basketball court.
Yeah, a basic little basketball court. He bought his wife a piece of jewelry right here on Broadway. Like in the Diamond District.
Yeah, I'm like, he had all these, he was taking all these kids, making kids pancakes, doing all these things, you know what I'm saying? Like, when did he become this tough? I'm just saying, like, yeah, hey, he got his larger life attitude, and hey, he could tell LeVar, I mean, Lonzo, not made really good like that. LaMelo want to be a star, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And LeVar, man, Lonzo's not going to talk. Let me get out there and boast you up and get you the number two pick, and shit, you know what I'm saying? Hey, Lonzo, once you get up there, you know what I'm saying, you can do whatever you want. But now it's like, yo, y'all still want to go find Lonzo. I mean, y'all still want to go find LeVar to ask him, what you think the Pelicans are going to do this year with Zion? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, y'all still going to go find him.
Yeah.
LaMelo High, y'all still trying to find the ball people. Like, but what's going to be the narrative? I was thinking, like, what's going to be the narrative now is LeVar actually leave LaMelo alone. What did he say? Leave him alone. You know what I'm saying? Cause I don't think he's really going to leave him alone. Well, he's probably going to give him an agent.
No, LeVar just said this morning,
and I'm gonna play the background.
No, LeVar said that they're triple B's. He's saying he's not even. He said LaMelo and Lonzo are not going to Nike because that was Complex just put out an article this morning, and it was in reference to LeVar and his boys going to Nike, and he was like, "No, they're triple B's." So he's still like, "It ain't."
He probably
like,
find these niggas though.
That's why I said the narrative can't be that LeVar is greedy or money. Like, because he said he stole Lonzo's money. I was like, if anything, I think if LeVar is guilty of anything, is like I said, he doesn't realize where the line between him being a father and them being professional athletes starts and stuff and stops. All that other shit where they're implying that he's doing anything nefarious to his sons for some sort of selfish, like, monetary purpose, I think that's just... that's disgusting.
And it's
actually
just bullshit. Like, think about how old Lonzo really is. He was just being a third year in college or whatever. I mean, fourth year in college, a senior, you know what I'm saying? Like, he would still be in college too. Most college students still go back to their parents' house and live in the goddamn rooms. And they still got to put up with their parents telling them everything to do. You know what I'm saying? So since Lonzo get an NBA check, oh, you need to cut your dad off and all this shit. Like, come on, man. Like, y'all, this shit is crazy, dude. Don't get the money to your dad. Go get the money to your fucking to an agent.
LaMelo is just turned 17 years old. He's still a fucking kid. Like, let's. LeVar sent him.
Don't look too bad if LaMelo becomes the number one pick. You know what I'm saying? You hoop out. Listen,
I mean, I think the best.
If Starbury not can go to China and sell shoes, and Dwayne Wade can sell them fucking shoes and get money for it.
I think the best bet for LeVar is to collab.
Fucking shoes and shit. You know what I'm saying?
The best.
Rebrand it a little bit and have LaMelo do it.
The best, if you asking me what I think the best financial decision for LeVar would be, as far as in terms of expanding his brand, I think it would be a collaboration with Nike. A Triple B's collab with LaMelo as the shoe, as the endorser. Have him put his, Adidas did it with Donovan Mitchell. He has like the spider sneaker. It has his brand incorporated into the sneaker. Dame does it. Russ did it with Jordan. Like, there's a way to incorporate your brand with Nike if finances is the only motivation. Now, if legacy, if trend setting, if breaking the mold is the motive, then yeah, just do the Triple B's relaunch, have it a better sneaker, have it be a better sneaker, and then LeVar still has clout in China. Let's not act like Triple B's didn't go to China and do a pop up and do their own press run.
It all works with it. It all works and they win. If Lonzo and LaMelo hoop, it works. You see, you know what I'm saying? Because y'all still gonna be in demand. They gonna be their face out there and shit. You know what I'm saying? It's all these kids that fucking get on. Come on, like I show you the YouTube shit. Also, all these kids that been watching them all of these years. That's why Facebook got with them. Like, yo, they're following this huge in real life. You see, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just, hey, the nigga Lonzo didn't hoop.
Yeah, Lonzo, him not showing up is what killed the whole idea of the sneaker. The sneaker was ugly too.
It was, but people were still buying it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like yo, these Instagram models can get on here and get people to buy shit from all of these fashion overs and shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Nah, really.
Even
shit.
Though they would never be Nike or with Under Armour or any of that shit, like, yo, you can just get a piece of that market, you know what I'm saying? And you're getting all the money. Like they said with the independent rappers, cool, like, yo, man. You're getting all the money.
You see with D-Wade, you see with Klay Thompson, well, you won't see with Klay Thompson going forward because I think Anta, the Chinese company who worked with Klay Thompson, they ended up. But like Dwayne Wade, you've seen when players go and try to do a third party or a lesser known party for the sneaker, it doesn't have the financial, it's never financially as prosperous as saying teaming with a Nike. They just have a, or Adidas, they just have a, they have a stronghold on that industry. It's like,
you're right.
It's nothing we can say about that.
But I'm just saying, but it's one of those things like where you own it. Like, say Nike will say, oh, we give you a 5-year, $15 million, you know what I'm saying? And after those 5 years, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? But if you own it forever, I'm not saying that you're going to be high, your shit going to be selling hot, you know what I'm saying? But it will still be more money than you made with Nike, unless Nike giving you a fuck, you know what I'm saying? Like a LeBron contract, $1 billion and shit. Most of these players ain't getting that shit, though. You know what I'm saying? Does it get these regular ass? But like you said, I mean, LaMelo's going to be the number one pick, so his shit may be totally different. And they say, well, hell. But I don't know. I'm just saying, I just don't like the thing. Like, when people say, well, we're talking about black ownership and all of these shit, and how Kanye and I said it was so hard to break into the fashion industry, and how everybody say Nike and all these people got the Illuminati, they just not going to let you into the industry. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, if Nike didn't think Lonzo could sell shoes, they wouldn't have been trying to get them. You see what I'm saying? I think that was LeVar comes like, damn, man, all these people offer you shoe contract. Like, Adidas offered LeBron $10 million, and LeBron turned that shit down, and Nike gave him $90 million. So yeah. They trying to give that shit to you. You know they be making motherfucking money, because that's how everybody hear it now and shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you can get all the money. And that's like, damn, like, are they buying a shoe because it's Nike, or are they buying a shoe because it's Lonzo Ball? You know what I'm saying?
That just reminded me of...
Are they buying
a
shoe because it's Nike, or are they buying a shoe because Nike said, this is LeBron James' signature shoe?
That comment just reminded me of when Kanye called LeBron a slave, because you know he got that lifetime deal with Nike. So of course he can't really say anything against the Chinese government. But okay, well, let's go ahead and end the pod there.
Hold up, let me ask you right before you said that. I'm glad you said that. I just want to ask that. Just in that, right? That's true. And Kanye getting $150 million fucking dollars from Adidas, I get 10% of the revenue every year. You know what I'm saying? From Adidas, like, think about how much money Kanye's about to get. And that's why Kanye left Nike. You're like, yo, Nike, how much percent of Nike you not getting any of this? Like, what? And Adidas like, well, shit, we let you come over here, shit. We know, you know what I'm saying? Even if we just get a small market of shit that the Yeezys be doing, that's going to be a plus for us and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
And Kanye went to Adidas and he still be selling these motherfucking shoes.
Yeah, I look at Kanye, I believe less of what he says, in terms of, and it's not even me being a Kanye hater or being critical of him. I'm just looking at over the last 2 years, the Yeezy boost, whatever, the sales. There was something to be said when the Yeezy was exclusive, it was limited release, and it had a lot of lore to it. It had a lot of clout to it. It had a lot of hype beast to it. Now, Kanye seems to be oversaturating the market with sneaker after sneaker after release, similar colorways, back to back.
You think he's doing that, or you think Adidas is doing that?
I think they're both doing it, because I don't think the money's there. I don't think the Yeezy is where it's at no more. if you really ask me where it's at right now, the Yeezy market is done. I think the whole Yeezy movement is over.
I'm just saying in the part like where Nike's making $300 billion a year and Adidas still only making, you know what I'm saying, $3-4 billion. But that Adidas, you know what I'm saying, the Yeezy is making $1.5 billion for them.
Allegedly.
They probably don't compare shit to Jordan now and shit, you know what I'm saying, but for Adidas. I'm talking about like for the deal. I'm not really talking about like the shoe market. I'm just saying like for the deal that they gave Kanye, like to even get 10% of his shoe sales. You know what I'm saying? To see how much it really is. Like, damn. Forbes said you got $150 million for this shit this year. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
If LeBron, you know what I'm saying? LeBron had a 6-year, $90 million contract.
It is what it is at the end of the day. I have my doubts about those figures in terms of Kanye.
How many pair of deals you got your closet?
I got right now 3 pairs of Yeezys, like 3 pairs of Ultra Boost. I think I might got another pair. I got like 6 or 7 pairs of Adidas. But I'm telling you, the wave right now is with Nike. The wave is back with Nike. I don't see where these figures are supported by what I'm seeing in the streets, what I'm seeing just in sneaker culture. Maybe I'm just a little bit disconnected from it.
That's what I'm saying. Nike's so small. Like, in the real market share, his shit may be so small, you know what I'm saying? But since they're giving him 10% of the sales, that's like Curry only did $400 million. They gave him, he made $40 million last year because he got 10% of it. They ain't nobody buying Curry's $400 million for the shoe market. Ain't really shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But shit, they gave Kanye 10% of the shit, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying, it's a win. Like, damn, Kanye come over here, you know what I'm saying, get 10%. And hey, your Yeezy ain't really selling that much. Now they only sold $800 million.
I wish the details of these deals were made public because I have my doubts.
Well, me
about
too.
It.
Yeah. I mean, even as far as that though, I mean, for somebody that got the brand of like Kim Kardashian and
if
Kanye,
what you're saying is true, Kanye's actions don't speak to a man that's content with his success and a business. Like, his actions seem to lead towards somebody that's desperate. Like, that's why I'm having my doubts. But I mean, it could just be my own, like,
I mean, you're right. But listen, bias. Some people say girls get naked because they're desperate and they want money. And then Kim Kardashian got all the money in the world and she still be getting naked.
Yeah, I mean, we only know in part. That's the thing about it. We think we know.
But let me ask you one time. Is Kanye, so like I asked you earlier, so when he made Jesus walk, he wasn't a Christian then or what? If he just now converted back to Christianity, like, or was he hanging out with the devil and shit? Doing devil worship and all the Illuminati shit when you're talking about dead offend the people that.
Yeah, he
I'm just being honest, like, he's just not talking about he converted to Christianity. He made Jesus walks and all. I made Jesus walks, I'm never going to hell. He done made all these songs with God say, you know what I'm saying? I'm just keeping it real. Like, and now he's talking about, now he's just not becoming a Christian. Like, what the fuck you been talking about all these years since 2003?
He said, I am a God, which is considered blasphemy if you follow Christian text. I don't know. I can't speak on his religious, you know what I'm saying, beliefs. I'm not here to like bash any of that. I think based on what we've seen recently.
I didn't convert atheists into believers. I'm just trying to say the way that, come on.
Someone who called themselves Jesus.
Kathy Lee did it reading just the way I need Jesus.
Over the last decade or so, I'm just looking at the timing of someone as influential. Who believes they're influential, and I have to believe it too because I'm seeing Sunday service. I'm still seeing people out there, and Kanye's not. His mindset, his beliefs on certain things haven't changed. He still takes a. There was a clip of him referring to slavery again, and he was saying some of the same shit he said in that TMZ interview that got people all riled up.
I don't think Kanye changed. Like, like, yay.
It's like, yeah, cult. It's now it's like cult. With the Sunday service, this shit just reeks of like some sort of cult. It's hard to believe certain things. Like when people talk about Jim Jones and that cult down in, what was it, Jonestown?
Yeah.
Like it's hard to believe some of those things when you're removed from it historically.
Was he the one with Jim Jones, the one that was in Waco, Texas?
No, he was the one who took all those people down to, I believe, South America and they drank that Kool-Aid.
Who the one that drank the Kool-Aid in Waco, Texas?
I'm not sure. You might be talking about
how about Jim Jones had a compound in Waco, Texas? We had everybody drink the Kool-Aid.
No, that was somebody else. I can't remember his name right now. Unless I'm mistaken, I thought he took these people down to Central America and they
Deshaun Carter had Pharrell and Kanye drinking his Kool-Aid.
I don't know.
They were some of his most prolific producers, and you see this type of lifestyle. Listen, my man, they got a type of group of people hanging out with.
Now we're babbling. Yeah, now we're starting to babble, but
yeah, I know.
Yeah, Jim Jones was down in South America, Jonestown, Guyana. He took all these people down there, drink the Kool-Aid. I think you're talking about somebody else down in Waco. I can't remember his name right now. Not Bundy. It wasn't Bundy. Somebody else. I'm looking it up now just so I can get it out of my mind. Waco. Just so I can have it out of my fucking brain.
David Koresh.
Koresh, okay.
No, David Koresh.
Okay. This has been Trap Conscious Radio. We covered a lot of stuff. Mainly we talked about the two big things going on right now. Simultaneously, you got the NBA in China and U.S., this drama between the league, from a league watcher, from someone who cares about the inner workings of the NBA, from like free agency to financial particulars, just some people who've credited the league with allowing their players to be outspoken on social issues. This is a major topic because it touches all those things. The unfortunate murder of a Tatiana Jefferson at the hands of a Dallas police officer, Aaron Dean, similar to a case we just seen wrap up with Amber Geiger and the killing of Botham John. And also, not to forget, the murder of, what was his name again? Joshua Brown. Yeah, like, a lot is happening around us. It's like, it's on us to pay attention to all these little small things because they all mean something. And meanwhile, we still have a lot of political theater going on. Another Democratic debate is getting ready to take place tonight. You got all these faces across my screen. I'm watching CNN as we talk.
You still going for Corey?
Yeah, I'm still going for Corey. I want Rosario Dawson to be my first lady. La.
Did they say Corey even pogue?
I think he had like 9%. Or like, no, he had 2%.
Hell nah, because Kamala had 5%.
Yeah, he had 2%. He had 2%.
Out of the top 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
He was behind the game.
Well, I see the play already. It's going to be Biden and Sanders, Warren and Buttigieg. But anything else you want to say before we get off?
Nah.
Me neither. I was going to do that Halloween candy bracket. We can do that on another episode because I want to get to the bottom of it. What is the most popular Halloween candy? And be careful, man. If we don't do another podcast and we don't get to do this
topic. The problem with that is you live in America and they only come in variety pack now. So they only got the coolest candy. All the other bullshit candies, they already out of here.
Like, I don't see Now Laters on here. I don't see I don't see orange slices on here. Like, I don't see hood candy on
here. Those ain't the candies that come in the bags for Halloween.
Okay. Be careful for them. I heard they putting edibles in kids' candy bags. Be careful.
Well, if you give them the CBD edibles, they'll be good. He's not down to 21. I heard they do a lot of for medicinal purposes, for seizures.
I heard they said they giving it to kids with autism and it's helping them to speak and all kinds of other medical miracles. So, hey, legalize marijuana nationwide. Free everybody who's locked up for having a sack. Trap Conscious Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast, you'll find Trap Conscious Radio. Just giving you raw, uncut, unfiltered opinions on the ongoings of the day, of the week, and how it affects us, mainly in the black community. That's the perspective we come from. I'm YBF the Def on Instagram and on Twitter. You can follow me there. You can interact with me there. You can also send an email at ybfpod@gmail.com, and I'll respond to those emails. Continue to send me links and content that you want to see discussed on the podcast. That's what's driving the show lately, and I like that format. We like speaking directly to what y'all want to hear about. It ain't no point of us. I know we get kind of out there with the sports, but hey, there's people who want to hear about that. So yeah, continue to send that. KB, where can they get at you?
KASERBABRK on IG. You know what I'm saying? Just find me on all the major platforms.
Yeah, we got to link up either in Houston or you got to pull up in LA. We got to do an in-studio podcast. We haven't done that in over a year. So it's time to KB to come back.
I'd rather pull up to LA, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like 11 out there.
More relaxed laws. Yeah, you can pull up.
Yeah, more relaxed laws out there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but we'll get back at y'all next time with another episode. Until then, stay safe, and yeah, we out. Peace.
Peace. All right.